So we were talking about your teacher's gesture with their hands, teaching gesture with their right hand, meditation gesture with their left hand, the wisdom bowl in their left hand with the nectar in it, right? And we said that one meaning was that what? It's a da, it's a sign that they are enlightened, because they can teach and they can be in the deepest meditation at the same time, okay? That's one meaning of those two hand gestures. Here's another meaning. Yang chirche ki dulja tupa la kulwa dang nyamsha ki tudun dupa la kuwa zepa. So, Ningbo, you want a reference here? 82A, second line, okay? You can also say that the chirche, the Dharma teaching gesture, is kulwa means encouraging, or what's stronger than encouraging? Urging, yeah, urging is good. They are urging their disciples to, not threaten, they are urging their disciples to be more, to study more, to learn more about spiritual path, okay? They are, this means, I want you to learn more about the spiritual path. And then this one means you should practice what I teach you. So the meditation posture, the meditation gesture is meant to say, learn a lot, but then do it. Okay, like that, all right? Because sometimes we learn a lot and we don't do it. Okay. Sometimes we try to do things, but we didn't know what we're doing. Okay, that's common, I think. I hear it. A lot of people, like yoga people, they haven't studied, they haven't been trained. So they don't have this, but they have this. They're doing the asanas, they're trying to practice, but they don't know exactly what they're doing. Then some of the Buddhist people are all this and no practice. You see what I mean? So we have to try to be both, okay? All right. That's the second meaning of those two mudras, okay? Kulwa dang. Yang jatin song kapa chenbu. Kenden tanam drupa tso ge sem jom mamba lun jom shinje yin. Then he says there's a third way to explain these two gestures. And he quotes Tsongkhapa, Jetsongkhapa. And Jetsongkhapa says, Kelden tarnam dupla tsoogek. If you are, Kelden means a lucky person who has good karma, okay? One of my first teachers' name was Kelden, Geshe Kelden, okay? So sometimes people use it as a personal name, Geshe Kelden. Tarnam dupla, if they want to practice the path to liberation, tarlam drup, la tso ge, you know lam tso nam sum, what's the tso in lam tso nam sum? Lam tso nam sum is the three principal path, right? So tso means principle. Tso ge means the main problem or the main obstacle that you're going to run into, Jetsun Kapa says, if you try to practice this path, is what? Sem jom momba lu jom shinje. Something destroys your body and something destroys your mind. So you have two main problems. When you try to practice the Dharma, something will try to destroy your body and something will try to destroy your mind. What's that? Mongba. Mongba is what? Remember? Ignorance, right? It's a synonym for ignorance. So now we have the Tibetan up there. And it's in the middle of the third line there. Yeah, mongba. You see it? Right in the middle of the screen. Mongba jomba. Ra mongspa. Njomspa. Okay, so mongba means... What's a good example of mongba? Mongba, when your boss yells at you, is what? You yell back. Mongba is a stupidity. Okay, so that destroys your mind. It makes you stupid. Okay, he yelled at me. I hate him. You know, somebody has to teach him, and I'm the one, you know, like that. Okay, that's momba. That destroys your heart. And then shinje destroys your body. What's shinje? The Lord of Death, okay? The Lord of Death. So the death will destroy your body, and misunderstanding your world will destroy your mind, okay? And these two things will stop you from your practice. Okay? Tsongkhik. She sung batar chudupe parchuk it so sem jumbo chepe momba. The things which interrupt your practice mainly are misunderstanding in the mind. And lu jumbo chepe chidat, the lord of death who destroys your body. Di ni, these two, nyambor, what is the antidote to those two? Okay, got it? Which one is this? Destroys the ignorance. You're not going to yell back at your boss. If you've been trained in these classes, you will be a graceful, gentle, you know, intelligent, kind person. Okay? Right? And your mind won't be destroyed. Okay, then what's here? Inside the bowl is the amrita, deathlessness. And that will stop your body from being destroyed. Okay, so he's trying to say there's two big problems you have to face. One is misunderstanding things, so I'm teaching you. One is death itself, the slow degeneration of your body as you get older. I'm offering you nectar. Okay, these are two fixes for the two greatest problems of a person who wants to practice Dharma. So he's saying, I have the two fixes. Okay? That's the third meaning of these two mudras. Okay? Jombatsun. Sun means they represent that. Can you see where we are? You okay? Dilatene. Yeah, Ningbo's got the cursor there. Okay? Dilatene shige wang draki letso drupe mikpe sabne kyang mangdu ye. Dilatene means you can also interpret this gesture in another way. Shi ge wang tak. Shi ge wang tak. What's that? These are the four modes of a teacher. Shi means Mr. Nice Guy. Ge means generous. Pays for you to come to the teaching. Shi ge. Wang means tough. You know, I want to see your six times bull. Tak means bam, you know. Dark is like fierce. Okay, I got hit once by my teacher. I'll never forget it. So my teacher had Shige Wang Tak. These are called the four modes. And a good teacher should have them all, okay? Without being angry, okay? I mean, they should be, what do you call it? In the way that parents fake sternness when the children are trying to run across the street or something, and they grab them and they, you know, shake them a little bit. What do you call it? Tough love. Okay? You have to have these four. As a teacher, you have to have these four. It doesn't mean it's good for a teacher to be angry. That's not one of the four. You can fake anger, or you can be, what do you call it? Wrathful. You should see the Dalai Lama when he comes to the monastery. He's not like, you know, he's like, he's screaming at the monks. He's like, the biggest abbots are shaking, you know, and he's like yelling at them for 45 minutes, you know, and they're all like, you know, but he knows how to pull out the appropriate gesture for the audience. That's called Shige Wangdan. The interesting thing for you, for those of you studying Tibetan, is here Le Tsok, the words Le Tsok, okay? Le means usually karma or action, and here it means... No, it's a noun, but it means stuff that you do, actions, activities. Tsok means what? A collection. So le tsok means, he's using the word le tsok to mean your repertoire of your four modes of a lama, okay? Le tsok. But le tsok is also a very important tantric word. When you have a... Like if you're studying Vajrayogini, if you're practicing mainly Vajrayogini, then you can order a special book called Le Tsok. And it will have everything you need about Vajrayogini in there. It will have the fire offering. It will have the offering of the hand. It will have the puja that you do. It will have a description of the offerings that you should do. It's everything you wanted to know about Vajrayogini. And that book, that genre of literature is called Le Tsok. So here he's using it in a very interesting way, your repertoire, okay? You should have in your repertoire the capacity to be a little tough with your students, or be nice to them, or be generous to them or be wrathful to them. Okay? What he says is, why did he bring that up here? Somewhere in there, you can find those four. And I'm not going to talk about it, he says. Okay? So I thought you guys could maybe debate it or something. Somewhere in these two gestures are those four modes. I don't know myself exactly why. He says mangdiyo means you could go off on that for a long time, but then he declines to do so. I thought you maybe have fun talking about it and deciding. You know, maybe you hit your student and give them a Coke or something. I don't know exactly. I don't know how it is. She knows doing mangdiyo thing. So we were talking about your lama in their real apparent form, sitting on the front throne. Now we have how many thrones? Five. We have over here is Manjushri, over here is Maitreya, back there is Vajradhara, the tantric Buddha. And then in front is your teacher, the way they look to you nowadays, okay? And around your teacher are all of the teachers you had in your life, starting, he says, with Mrs. Melvin. Who is Mrs. Melvin? Mrs. Melvin was my first grade teacher. You know, this bun hair and those little glasses. So you have to put her there. She is in your refuge visualization, okay? Mrs. Melvin. And I enjoy that. I like putting my grade school teachers. I had eight teachers, you know. And I Mrs. Melvin, Mrs. Evans, Mrs. Harris, Miss Powell, Mrs. Butts, Mr. Bloom, Mr. Riley, and Mrs. Jacobson. So I those eight, I still thank them, you know, not every day, but whenever I do this visualization, I thank them. You know, you taught me to ride, you know, you taught me a lot of stuff, and I thank you. And they should be there. It's interesting. Your parents should be there. All the people who taught you, the people who taught me my job in the diamond business, lots of people trained me. Finance, you know, administration, I had all these teachers. So they're around your lama. All the teachers you had in your life, your partner who teaches you every day, they should all be there, okay? And then you are thanking. In this, this is the refuge visualization. So you are asking them for help. You're asking them for protection, okay? You are my teachers, and please protect me, okay? Like that. All right? Let's all drip in. Make me something. Not okay. Chuddel, those of you who want to learn Tibetan, that's a certain expression. Chuddel means what? Dharma. Del means delwa. Del means relationship. Chuddel means lamas with whom you have a relationship. A teacher-student relationship is called chuddel. Okay? So like they'll say, do you know Geshe so-and-so at Sarah? And you say, yeah. And they say, is he chuddel for you? And you say, no, I don't have that relationship with him. He's not one of my teachers. Chuddel means people with whom you now have a karmic relationship because you studied with them. Okay, that's called chuddel. Chuddel ngutop means direct. You have direct teaching relationship with them. Okay, you didn't just listen to them on what do you call YouTube. That's not chuddel. Okay, maybe I don't know. Maybe it could be ngutop ki lama nam ki korwa. Rangre kyola lam. This is a cute section, okay? I remember this from like 100 years ago. Rangre kyola lama tuyu china tenwa sunne shine chang dang gopa yu. Anybody have a rosary? Can I borrow? So he says, kyola lama means tu. This tu, by the way, those of you studying Tibetan, tu means... This two means how many? Just one word, two means how many. So, kyo lama, tuyo means how many lamas have you had in your life? How many spiritual teachers have you had? Then most of us have to pull off our rosary, you know, and say, oh, well, there was Geshe Kelmben, And then there was Geshe Yambo, and then there was Kenunpate, and then there was Shapa Rinpoche, Kamlum Tuku, Geshe Ngon Dage, you know, like that. And you, then you say, oh, there must have been, in my case, there's 12 main lamas, okay? So you say, oh, I have 12, okay? Do you, Tawane Tango, do you, Ngu Ku Nandu Ngu Jinda Yuchina? But if I ask you how many bucks you got in your wallet, you don't have to look. You're like 14. It means you spend more time thinking about your money in your wallet than about how many teachers you've had in your life. And it should be the opposite. You know? Somebody say, how much money do you have in your wallet? Yeah, I hope there's some. And then, but how many lamas do you have? Oh, 13 before 1985, you know, 12 after that, you know, I had two. You know, it should be, because you're thinking about it, oh, Mrs. Melvin, you should be able to do your eighth, you know, first through eighth grade like that. Can you? It should be like, because it should be that you've thought about them in the last few days. Because you wouldn't be, you would be feral if it wasn't for them. You would be like a wild cat, you know. You'd be running around like with no good manners, and you'd be like an animal. You know, if you didn't have the teachers you had when you were young, even the dopey ones, you would be like a wild animal. And there are people like that who just didn't have teachers, you know, no one taught them good manners. Then you're not like that. And they should be on your mind frequently. You should be thinking about your sixth grade teacher and thanking them. I'm grateful. You taught me grammar. You taught me computers. My sixth grade teacher forced me to learn punch cards and said, one day this will be a big deal. The computers were thousands of punch cards with holes in them, and you had to learn binary. You know? He's like, I'm like, what's the use of this? He's like, there will be a thing called the computer, and people will use it. You know, you should know. So thank those people. Okay. All right. Loto ne she cho. She cho means you're ready. Immediately, somebody asks you how much money is in your wallet. You say, I got like $13 or $43. Okay. Yep, but then in Lamgitsawa da Tona, there's a mistake in the Tibetan. Okay. Tona. Where is that? Yeah, that shouldn't be done. It should be D-O-N-A-N-A. I'm sorry. It should be D-O. N-A-N-M-I. Donan mi che. Okay. So take out the na. It's D-O. N-A-N. Mi che. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's just a... There are thousands of mistakes like that in the typing. Because the typist can't read what they're typing. And it takes a geshe to read this book. So it's going to take, like, I don't know, a couple hundred years to fix the data. In the meantime, donan is a very colloquial. Donan means, and they don't say donan, they say donang in colloquial Tibetan. And it means to take an interest in something. Donang chigimindu. How many lamas do you have? Donang mindu. I never thought about it much. How much money is in your wallet? Oh, dila donang yun. Yeah, I'm interested in that. I pay attention to that. Donang means pay attention to that, okay? So, donang, lamki tsawala donang mi che. If you can count the money in your wallet, but you can't immediately count all your grade school teachers, you are lamki tsawala donang mi che. What's that, Nimbo? Lamki tsawa. Yeah, the root of the path. Donang mi che. You are not taking any interest in the root of the path. Okay? What's the root of the path? Your teacher. Your personal teacher. That's why all this stuff going on nowadays, and people are saying, I don't need a teacher, or my teacher's weird, or, you know. Then this Lam Kitsar, you destroy your practice. Destroy all your practice. Donang mi che means they don't take any interest in the Lam Kitsawa means without a teacher, it's nothing. You can't study, you can't do anything, you can't practice. Okay? If you don't like your teacher, find a better one. But you need a teacher. And they have to be someone you consider enlightened. Otherwise, it's hopeless. That's the root of the path. So if you can't count your grade school teachers on your hands quickly, you don't understand the root of the path, okay? Because they are also your gurus, okay? They are also your guru, and you have to be grateful for them. And you're very lucky you grew up in a country where they bothered to teach children rather than sending them to work, okay? And you should thank the people who built the schools and who paid the money for them and paid the teachers. And, you know, you think it's a natural right. It's not. There are countries in the world where, I mean, I studied in India. They grab you as soon as you can walk and they put you in a restaurant and you're cleaning glasses for the rest of your life. You know, you had gurus. Okay, namisala donami chipitai. Tayin means that's a sign that these people have no interest in the root of the path. Okay. Shugden lama shel shugpa namla bulden dang ma shugpa namla peda chaga. Shugden, which is not the same as shugden, which is a, you know, some weird thing. Shugden means the seat on which they are sitting. Shugden means the cushion on which they are sitting. Lama shel shukpa means their face is still in the world. And that means they didn't pass away yet. So shel shukpa means lama shel shukpa nam bulden. They're on a, what do you call it? Cotton cushion, or what do you call these things? Like, it has material in it. Bul means bumpy. Okay. Bulden. They have a bulden. They have a cushion. If their lama is still alive, you should picture them as sitting on a cotton cushion. But if mashupanam means if they've already passed away, peda, you should use a lotus. They should be sitting on a lotus that has a moon disc on top of it. And then they're sitting on top of that. Okay. That's a tradition when you picture them. Deta lama kangapo de la lamang denga ser. How many thrones do we have? It's five. Okay, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. He says these five groups of lamas are known as the five groups of lamas. Okay, okay. Because each throne has smaller thrones around it. All your elementary school teachers are sitting around your root lama in front. Okay, like that. All right. These five groups of lamas are called the five groups of the. They're called Lama Denga. Say Lama
De-nga.
It means these are the five groups of lamas that you have. Okay, you have tantric teachings, you have wisdom teachings, you have compassion teachings, you have your root lama's teachings, and then you have the teachings of the Buddha in general. So you have these five groups of, you already have five groups of teachers. Okay. De-tar ngar ki chichem biteng yidam ne sungme par ki tsokshin nam ki korwa te. Around the great throne, the central throne, Detang Yidam ne Sume par, are all kinds of tantric deities. Okay, Yidam means angels, tantric angels, parki, summa, and also guardians of the teachings. Okay, guardians of the teachings. There's a war going on constantly. You're not even aware of it. Okay, you are sitting in the middle of this war. You don't even know it's going on. Okay, there are powerful beings struggling to prevent Dharma from spreading in the world. And then there are powerful beings fighting them. And you don't even know what's going on. Okay? And it sways back and forth. Victories are had, and then great defeats are had, and these kind of things are going on. And it looks to you like normal world or stuff, but there, every time the Dharma gets strong, that country will be attacked, or that person will be attacked, or things will happen. And then there's a constant psychological war or spiritual war is going on all the time in the world, you know, and you don't feel it so much, you know. If the people in the wealthiest country in the world are just sitting and watching videos, you know, about sex and guns, Then the demons are like, yay, you know, this is so good, you know? And then there are people starving across the border, you know, as those people are dying from overeating, and then across the border, people are starving with no food, then this is like, there's this war going on, and it ebbs and flows. Okay, there is a war going on all the time. So there are protectors, there are guardians who are fighting for the good guys. Okay, Tsokshing Namki Korwate. That's the Tsokshing, and we'll get into it later. This is the, you can call them the garden. These are the good guy angels. They call them the white side of angels. Okay, and Korwate. So they're surrounding that big lama. Deyang lama dengatar yidam guluk. Around the whole five thrones. There's a set of angels. Okay, guluk. I corrected the Tibetan there. Did you? Yeah, yi ma should be yi dam. Y-I. Just Y-I with no D on it. Yeah. Guluk. How you set those angels, how you arrange them, there are different lineages. Okay? One lineage, Daki Lama Rinpoche Sungyun Seling Yongzin Ki Chakshe Nangkodu. So in my own lama's tradition, Pabongkun Rinpoche's own lama, followed a tradition by a lama called Seling, Seling Yongzin. He lived 1792 to 1862, if you care. Kichakshe Nang. He followed the custom of that lama. And that lama said, how you arrange these tantric angels, these tantric deities, okay, in our direct lineage, you put the highest ones in the middle. So around the five thrones, the first row around them is the highest tantric angels. And then you go down from there. You go out from there. So there are four groups of tantric teachings, four classes of tantric teachings. What are they? Yeah, Nyanjalana may be you. Anuttara Yoga is the highest. What's this? Third one, yoga, okay, Nyanjor Kigyu. Then, Chugyu, yeah, Charya, and then Chagyu, which is Kriya, yoga. So there are, in the secret teachings, there are four great traditions, okay, in ancient India. And sometimes the deity is even shared between two of them, like Tara, can come in an Anuttara form, or Tara can come in a Kriya form. So what makes one group bigger than another group? Do you guys remember? How internal is it? If it's more internal, it's higher. If it's more external, it's lower. So if the secret practice is all about ringing the bell at the right time, and making sure the offerings are in the right order and all that, that's lowest tantra. And then internal tantra, where you're thinking, I'm an angel, you know. Like you have some tantric practices inside of you. That's the highest class. So the teachers of those four classes are circling the five thrones. And one tradition says, put the highest ones in the inner circle, then go down the outside, okay? So first you have Anuttara yoga, then activity, and then action. Okay? Classes of tantra. Teng shi ze. There should be four circles of deities. Chusang je yeshi gyatso chakshe. Then there was a lama named Chusang je yeshi gyatso. He said, you should just put them all in one circle. And then the higher yoga angel should be in front, and then they should go around in a circle. Okay, the lower tantras. Okay, Ngone Dundu Lame, Yesu Nyanjor Gyu. On the left should be the, so it's Anuttara yoga, activity, and action class. So they go down leftwards. Okay, from the main figure's point of view. So Kor Chikse, there should just be one. Chusang Parmet Sokshindu Lame Lame Le Mi Selva Yang De Nyeki Yin. So there were different, what do you call, carvings of how to visualize these angels. And in the carving from Chösung's monastery, you could only see the Anuttara Yoga deities. Why? Because the others were covered. They were in the back. Okay, so he's explaining why if you ever see one of those carvings, you'll only see people like Bhairava, Yamantaka, Chakrasambhara, Vajrayogini, like that, Tara. You won't see the other tantric angels because they're in the back. Okay, in that system. All right, Nekiyin. Kandar, anyway, he got to the same point we got to. Everybody's like, huh? Kandar, Yidam Kitar, Sangye Choki Chukun Number Chen. Outside of the circle of tantric deities, you can put another circle. And that will be Buddhas, enlightened beings of the universe. Okay, there are billions of Buddhas, not just the one who came to this planet. And then there will be a circle of Buddhas. They call, say, Choki Tuku. You know Tuku, right? Tuku means like an emanation. Chok means highest. This means Koch classic Buddha. It means, you know, bump on the head, big ears, sitting like this, okay? That's a classic Buddha form. What do you call it? Like a Koch classic Buddha, okay? Tuku. So do you have a line of them? Deyan Kyosangi Sangye Tongdan. Hang on. Sok. Then you can, there are groups of Buddhas hanging around the universe. Maybe you'd like to hear their names, okay? All right? Nobody cares much about them. There are specific groups of enlightened beings hanging around the universe. And I'll tell you, he mentions some of them, okay? They're not just generic Buddhas. There are certain affiliations and little groups of Buddhas that hang out together, okay? Who are they? I mean, at this point, you just get beyond everybody's. You never met any Buddha, so who cares if there's 23 that hang out somewhere, you know? Anyway, Kelsangi Sangye Tong. Kelsangi Sangye Tong means, it's the 1,000 Buddhas who will come to this planet in the golden eon. Okay, so in the last billion years or so, there's been three, and there's 997 to come. Okay, I think Maitreya is the fourth. So there will be 1,000 Buddhas who will come to this planet, and we're only on number 3 or 4. Okay, so you can picture that in that row is all those 1,000 Buddhas, three who came already, 997 to come. Deshe Ge means the gang of eight Buddhas. Okay, and then I'm going to tell you who they are. Like you could care less, but I'll just tell you their names. Okay, these are related to Medicine Buddha. Okay, by Shajya Guru. Nenla, which is not La, it's La, like Lama, Guru, Vaishajya Guru. So there's a Buddha that's especially related to medical treatment and medicine and the practice of medicine, and that's called Medicine Buddha. Okay, and he hangs out with seven other Buddhas. Okay, so you get eight. That's how you get eight. So I'm going to just tell you their names. I wrote it down here somewhere. Yeah, one is called Senlek, one is called Rinchen, one is called Sersang, one is called Nyanginme, one is called Chudak, one is called Munkin. Then there's Menla, and there's Shakyatupa. So Gautama Buddha is one of the eight also. So this is a group of eight Buddhas. Why are they important for us? They are a club, Buddha club. And a zillion years ago, they were having a club meeting, and they were looking into the future and saying, things will get bad on planet Earth in a zillion years from now. Let's make a pact. Let's make an agreement between us that when it gets bad on planet Earth, we'll come. The eight Buddhas will come. So Medicine Buddha will be there, Shakyamuni will be there, and there will be six other Buddhas. So they're coming, all right? They're like the cavalry, and they're on their way. So you should know, you should be happy. Okay, there's eight Buddhas who are coming to help us. Then there's a Tungshaki Sangye Songa. There's a group of 35 Buddhas who, if you have a particularly bad deed in your past, you know, if you killed somebody or if you did something really bad, there's a special practice that you can confess to the 35 Buddhas. And so there's a group of 35. There's another gang of 35 Buddhas who are really good for confessing. You know? And if you want, I don't know, someday we can learn that practice, but there's a practice to the 35 Buddhas of confession. If you've done some really, really nasty stuff, then you can, you know, they can help you. All right. Let me see, how's the time going? Okay. We'll take a break in about 10 minutes, okay? I know it's hot. You should be drinking, okay, a lot. And you should have a pee-pee break. Dini Chirsangye Taye Kyang. Generally speaking, there are infinite number of Buddhas. Kelsan de Sangye Nam Rangar Del Chewa Dang Deshe Dungi. But the thousand Buddhas are related to our world. So they have a big connection with our world. Del Chewa Dang Deshe Dungi Munam Shakye Tembe Tar Dir Drupa Sumbadang. And it is said that the prayers of the group of seven, including Medicine Buddha makes eight, they made Munlam. What's Munlam? Prayer. But for a Buddha, when you're talking about a Buddha and their what they were doing a million years ago, that's called Munlam. They made a, what do you call it? It's a prayer, but it's more of a, it's almost like a promise. Like that, they said, when stuff gets bad on planet Earth, I'll be there, okay? So, Munlam Shakya Temba Tar, it means when the teachings of Gautama Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, begin to collapse, which is now, okay? Tar Dir Drup, they will come, and they will help, okay? So, we have a connection with these Buddhas, okay? And they are coming. This is supposed to be the days that the Buddha predicted that his teachings would die in this world, like all things die in this world. And we've reached that time. Okay, nobody knows what they're talking about, you know, oftentimes in the teachings or the practice of the teachings. It's a bad time, and we're at the end of those times. Okay? Tar Sumbadang. Tung Shaki Sangye Songa Dik Tung Jongwa La Topche We Neki Yin. And the 35 Buddhas, of course, are very powerful when you've committed some kind of really bad deed, and they can help you purify it. Tar Nyese Ge, okay? Then you have the famous Bodhisattvas, okay? So now you've got Tantric Deity Group 1, Tantric Deity Group 2, Group 3, Group 4, full Buddhas, clubs of Buddhas, and now you've got Bodhisattvas coming, okay? So now there's another group, the big bodhisattvas, the big guns among the bodhisattvas, okay, who are not quite Buddhists yet. There's called the Nyese Ge, say Nyese Ge. They're called the eight close sons of the Buddha. And these are bodhisattvas who lived during the Buddha's time. And there are eight of them, and they're very famous. When you're talking bodhisattvas, you say, oh, these are the big eight, okay? It's like Ningbo's Big Ten Conference or Pac 3 or, you know, like big football games. These are the big eight bodhisattvas. Okay, I'm going to tell you your names just for good luck. Okay. The first one is called Chagna Dorje, which in Sanskrit is holding a vajra in his hand. What's the Sanskrit? Vajrapani. Okay, Vajrapani. By the way, in the time of the Buddha, they are considered bodhisattvas. Since then, they got upgraded. Okay. Jampe Yang, Manju Kosha, or Manjushri, okay. Chenre Sik, Avalokiteshvara, Sai Ningbo, which means Kshitigarbha, the essence of the earth. Okay, this is a famous bodhisattva in the time of the Buddha. Jampa, Maitreya. Namke Ningbo, the essence of the sky, which is Akasha Garba. This is another famous bodhisattva. We got six, okay, so far. Dipsel, which means the bodhisattva who clears away obstacles. It's not clear what the Sanskrit is. I believe it's Nivarana Vishkambin, okay? And then Kundusambo, who's famous for spreading flower petals across the sky. Samantabhadra, okay? So those are called the eight great bodhisattvas, okay? Those are the eight. They are related to certain directions, if you care. I'll do it fast. It'll be on the tape. Vajrapani is to the east, Manjushri is to the south, Avalokiteshvara is to the west, Kshitigarbha is to the north, Maitreya is to the southeast, Akashagarbha is to the southwest, Dipsal, who clears away obstacles, is to the northwest, and Samantabhadra is to the northeast. Okay. Sokchansan Nam Hai Buin Namba. And they look like young, what do you call it? Angels, okay? Like young deities. The bodhisattvas, not quite mature. Teenage deities, okay? They tar rangyal. I'll go a little bit more, okay? Then I'll give you a break, I promise. These are the worst circumstances under which to have a teaching. A warm day. It'll get worse, okay? Then outside of them are the self-made Buddhas who are not Buddhas, okay? They are arhats. They're not even bodhisattvas. They're on a lower path. They're on a lower track. They are arhats. They have overcome their mental negative emotions, but they're not bodhisattvas. They don't have a vision to save the universe. They just are very calm and peaceful, and they've reached the destruction of their own negativities. Okay. Then there are 12 of them. There are 12 famous self-made Buddhas, because their main teaching is the 12 links of dependent origination, the wheel of life. So there's a correlation between 12 great arhats and the 12 links of the wheel of life. Okay. In the self-made Buddha track. All right, this is getting really difficult. I don't do all this visualization. I just have my lama there. And I've been happy with that for 40 years or so. So, you know, but the reason I'm teaching this text is I want you to have the full transmission. And maybe it will be useful for someone. So you should learn it, okay? We'll finish one more and then we'll stop. If we did self-made Buddhas, then outside of them should be listeners, arhats, lower track, okay? Then there are 16 famous listeners, okay? Lowest track, 16 famous arhats. They're called neten. Neten means tavira, means elders. There are 16 elders, okay? When you talk about listeners, somebody says, name me 10 listeners, you can give them 16, okay? And that's all the ones they ever talk about. I'm going to tell you their names, okay? Just for good luck, he doesn't mention their names, okay? One is called Panta, which means Lampa. Do you know Panta? The one who's on the path. Who is that? That's the guy who was sweeping. Okay, all right? He's called Little Path, right? Why? Because they took the baby out on the little path and they said to the monks, would you bless the baby? And okay, he got called Little Path. Okay. Panta. Abedya is one, Michepa. Serchen is Kanakavati. Bakula. Some of you were fortunate enough 15 years ago, 10 years ago. We went to Mongolia and we met Bakula Rinpoche. We met the current incarnation of Bakula. He was a prince from Ladakh, and he went to Tibet in like 1930, 40, and became Atharamba Geshe. He passed the highest Geshe. And then he came back to Ladakh, and he was involved with the independence movement with Gandhi. And then he became the senator of Ladakh. He's a Thurmba Geshe reincarnated Lama. He was the Indian Congress's representative from Ladakh for many years. When he got to be like 85, they chose him to be the ambassador in Mongolia. And we met him. We used to hang out with him there. That was Bakula Rinpoche. Very, very unusual. Great, great. One of the greatest beings in current times. But nobody knew much about him. But anyway, some of you had the honor to meet him, Bakula. He passed away after that. Bharadwaja, Samasabad, Vajrayputra, Rahula, Bhadrashri, Ribihula, Beche, which is probably Guha, Nagasena, Vanaprastha, Chudapantaka. There's Little Path, okay? The other one was probably Big Path. Kanaka Vatsa, Angaja, and probably Ajita. So those are the 16 elders. I'll tell you one more thing, okay? And then I'll let you go, really, I promise. If the self-made Buddhas are distinguished by their knowledge of the 12 links and the wheel of life, right? Then the listeners are distinguished by, we call the Jangbe Yunden Chunyi. Say Jangbe Yunden Chunyi. These are the 12 high qualities that come from practice. But these are customs followed by the earliest followers of the Buddha. The earliest monk followers of the Buddha specialized in 12 different activities. And so that's the measure of a good listener, okay? Someone who's mastered the 12. So I went and got you the 12, okay? Just because I didn't want you to go around not knowing the 12. And then I promise we'll have a break. If I don't break, then you just walk out. Anyway, okay? I love these things. I love these 12. Nobody talks about these 12, but I like them. The first one's called Chakdar Tripa. Chakdar Tripa means when they need something, they go to the garbage cans in the city and they look. They take what they need out of the garbage cans. Like they're living like, what do you call it? Nomads. They are spiritual nomads. And they don't keep a house and they don't keep money. When they need something, they go looking in garbage cans. Okay. Why do they take this robe? This robe, they take a good piece of cloth and they cut it up and they make patches on it. It's a big trouble. It costs a lot of money to pay someone to cut up good cloth and then sew it back together in a certain design. And it's all a big corruption. In the old days, you were only allowed to wear cloth that you took out of a garbage can. And you had to sew the pieces together. And you probably looked like a quilt or something. You know? So now they take a good piece of cloth, expensive cloth, and they cut it up and they re-sew it back together. So anyway, in the old days, the reason there are patches on monks' robes nowadays is that it used to be all patches. Okay? All right. I'm trying to get somebody to sew it. It's difficult. Chugasumba means they only wear the three. Their clothing is the three sets of robes. Okay, there's the skirt, and then there's an upper covering, and then there's a cloak. This thing, which is now just ornamental, was a sleeping bag for a homeless person. And you wore it, and that was your coat, and that was your sleeping bag, okay? And that's where this came from. Nowadays, it's just a hassle carried around, you know? But it was, probably it was thicker and made of wool, and when you went to bed, you just laid down wherever you were, and you just covered yourself up, and that was it, okay? So anyway, those are three, that's the second of the 12 who wears the three. That's all they have. They don't have more than those three pieces of clothing. Okay. Chimbawa means they refuse to wear more expensive. The clothing that they had was made of rough wool because that was cheap. I think nowadays it would be jeans. Dirty jeans, worn out jeans that weren't worn out on purpose by Juicy Couture. Okay. Using the volcanic ash that's torn down from the mountain outside of Flagstaff. Okay. Tenchikpa means one seat, okay? And I had to go deeper in the scripture. It means they agree, when they sit down to eat, they eat what they need for the day, and when they get up, they don't eat again. So one seat means they sit down to a meal once during the day. Tenchikpa. Sunyomba means, we're on number five. Sunyomba means they beg for their food. They go out door to door and they take a bowl and they ask for food. Okay. People ask me, why do Tibetan monks eat meat? Why do they eat meat? You beg for food. If they throw a hot dog in your bowl, you eat it. You're not allowed to negotiate. I'm vegan, but you know, let's say I'm 60% natural. Or something. What was that? I'm 60% raw.
It's a video clip called
Yeah. So anyway, you can't negotiate. Whatever they throw in your bowl, you're supposed to eat. And then when they didn't have bowls anymore, they started to buy meat, okay? Which is bad. That's a corruption, but that's why they eat meat. Okay. Number six. Say chi mi lambadang. Once they do come back from begging for food, they cannot go out again. Okay, that's, they don't go out again and they don't start eating again. That's an interesting monk's vow. You're supposed to eat to not quite full, and then you're supposed to stop. And you're not allowed to restart on the same sitting. That's what a lot of us do, right? Like we're done with the meal and then we decide we want something else. Okay, say chi mi namba. Gumbawa means, this is interesting. What's a Gumba? Gomba. It came to be corruption for meditation house, but Gumba means a monastery. The word Gumba means a monastery. Gumbawa means someone who lives in a monastery. The definition of a monastic in ancient times was so many miles from the nearest town, like Bui. Okay, frankly, the people at Diamond Mountain are more monastic than the people in Lhasa in the monasteries. They are following the ancient custom. It's you have to be so many minutes by car, ideally like an hour or half an hour from the nearest town, and then you're a monastic. That makes you a monastic. Okay, so that's a Gumbawa. They agree to stay far away from towns. We live in Camp Verde, but that doesn't really count as a town. Okay, just kidding. Xing Tungwa means at the foot of a tree. What's that mean? Yeah, they sleep. When it gets dark, they lay down at the foot of the nearest tree. And that's where, what's your address? Xing Tungwa. What's your address? The nearest tree when it gets dark. That's my address. Okay, Xing Tungwa. How many we got? That's eight, right? Lagdap Meba. Lagdap Meba means they don't buy a winter coat. They don't have a fancy coat. They have this. They have only this. And they don't go trying to buy a big fur coat or something like that. And, or, what do you call it? A winter coat for when it's cold. Okay, Lagdap Meba. Dirtrupa. What's Dirtrupa? They like to hang out in cemeteries. Okay. Just to, it's not some kind of weirdo cult thing, okay? It's to keep you aware of how little time you have and use it preciously. If you sleep in graveyards in India are flat pieces of land where they throw dead bodies without burying them. Burial grounds, right? And it's scary. Because all the wild animals come there. The most vicious animals come to the Dutra to eat the bodies, you know, at night. So to sleep there takes a lot of renunciation. So that was a custom. Some people would sleep on top of a body. You know. So, and it's not some kind of, don't think it's some kind of weirdo tantric thing. It's made to make you not watch videos. You know, like, I'm not going to waste my time. I could die tonight. You know, so if you hang out in a cemetery, it's not to make you morbid or weird or something like that. It's just appreciate every hour, every minute you have. Don't waste 5 minutes of your life. Okay? What's the next one? 11? Sokpua. They agree never to lay down completely to sleep. They sleep sitting up or they crouch. I don't think it's not a wise practice. I heard a lot of people went cuckoo doing that. But the idea especially is, especially during the day, they make a promise never to lay down. They use their life. And they're always serving somebody. Okay. Like Jampa in Howl, he never lays down. He's always on his feet. He's cleaning and then he's cooking and then he's building Dharma things and he never stops. And that's a tzopua. Okay. One more, right? Then you get a break. Either way. Shi Jishimba. Say Shi.
Shi.
Jishimba.
Jishimba.
The foundation as it is. So I had to go study that and I found it. And what it means is for your mattress, you use whatever materials are at hand, meaning grass and leaves. So the words in Tibetan is whatever's there. But what it means is when it's time to lay down, you just get some leaves or grass and you put it together and you sleep on that. Okay? Those are the 12 practices of which track? Listener track. And those would define a good follower of the listener track. Okay? That's the lowest track. Okay? More appropriate for our circumstances would be to have a small, comfortable house without bugs in it or mice and meditate, you know, nicely there, live quietly, modestly, but in a healthy way. That those people who live by these 12, they don't live very long, okay? No, I mean, it's too rough. The lifestyle's too rough. It's like a homeless person, and they're dead by the time they're 40 or something. And it's in our cultural setting, it would be more appropriate to have a comfortable small apartment in a quiet place to practice like that. That's just more doable. I tried the cave thing. I did the cave thing, and it was miserable. There were spiders everywhere. There was a green rattlesnake. Somebody told me later, if they bite you, you die. There's no known. He came in the cave. There was coyotes and wolves and I just gave up after a couple of days. I was like, oh, man. You know, so it's not conducive. Okay, these are all the ancient custom, but I think for us, a small, comfortable place where you can be anonymous in practice. We have half an hour. We're at 83A. We're just about to hit 83A. Chagna Thungse. Those listeners who you are visualizing who have mastered the 12 practices of sleeping in front of a tree, etc., they have a wisdom bowl in their hand. Karsil means they are, have a sage's, what do you call that thing? Yoda has one.
Staff.
They have a sage's staff. Karsil, I like the word Karsil. Putti is a corrupt Sanskrit word for, this is a putti, a religious book. Sorry. That's a putti. Sok namba. This namba means they are holding in their hands, okay? Mindawai Kepar Rangyal Nam Ula Tsukto Chungse Yopa. A little bit difference between the listeners and the self-made Buddhists is that the self-made Buddhists have a little bit of a tsukto. Tsukto means shikanda in Sanskrit. It means it can mean a top knot or it can mean the bump that a Buddha has on their head. They have a slight bump here. A Buddha has a slight bump here on their skull. Okay, tsukto. So they have a little bit of one. Okay, a little bit of a bump. And that's called Senpe Jetumba. Say Senpe.
Jetumba.
Senpe means the 112 marks of an enlightened being. They have special designs on the skin of their palms. Their toes are connected with little webs. They have bumps, they have big ears. You know, there are these signs of an enlightened being. Jade Tumba means almost, but not quite. So they have little bumps, but not big bumps. Okay, so the self-made Buddhas in your visualization should have little bumps. Okay. Jetumba Dandemba. Nyentu Kitar, outside of the listeners, are Kanda Kapala and Raptuma, etc. Pawo Dampamo. This means warriors, man and woman warriors. And they are tantric angels, tantric practitioners. Like Kandarohi. Those of you who practice Vajrayogini, you know Kandarohi, which is similar to Raptuma. These are like angels, protector angels, okay? Two different kinds. Etc. Decho le Sumbatar, as we find in the Chakrasambhara scriptures, okay? Those holy beings. They are mostly protectors, okay? They are mostly protecting the place. If you've ever done a retreat, for example, if you get trained in tantric retreat, then there's certain ways to protect the building. You put up samto, right? You put up certain markers which psychically protect the place where you're doing the retreat. And they supposedly attract those protector angels. Okay. And then, you know, being a Westerner, you say, oh, I don't believe all that stuff, and you skip it once, you know. And then terrible stuff happens, and then you're like, no, I guess this stuff works, okay? I put up those markers on a retreat cabin in Flagstaff, outside of Flagstaff, and a forest fire came, huge. 35 guys were sent to the hospital, firefighters, right outside of my cabin. It was jumping from the top of the trees. It wasn't even on the ground. It was flying down the mountain. You could see it fly down the mountain on the top of the trees, and it didn't touch the ground. It was flying forest fire. And it came down as fast as you could run, you know. And I was like, whoa. And I like asked my lama, I did a mo, should I leave? And they said, no, you don't have to leave. And I'm like, it got closer and closer. Then I got my suitcase and I ran out to the highway and I hitchhiked to Flagstaff, you know. And then I came back the next day because I forgot some of my stuff. I forgot something I needed, and I came back, and the house was standing there, and everything around it was burned. But the house was just standing there, and the owner was there, and they were like, oh, thank you so much. You know, I like those little protector things, you know. And the fire jumped over it and kept going, and the house is still there. And so they work. There are such beings, and it works. If you don't believe it, try it sometime. Do a retreat with, do the Coke test. You know, try it with the protectors and try it without the protectors. And it's a big difference. I've done it. Okay. Decho de sumbatar ki koro. De tar kebo sumgi chö daki, daki tsol chepe jikten me debe chö kyong. Then there are certain Dharma protectors who specialize in the long rim. Okay? Kebusum means the three levels of practitioners. Chö means their teaching, meaning the long rim. Daki Tsor Chepa means those protectors who specialize in protecting long rim practitioners, which is what you are. Okay? They're outside, they're in the biggest, they're on the outside of the outside. Okay? Then there are four great protectors called the four great kings. And that's a long story. You don't want to hear the whole story. But you know this Mount Meru thing. We do Mount Meru, right? In the middle. Then at the top, there's four, what do you call it? Terraces to Mount Meru. And on the top, there's a special city. And there are four great kings who protect that place. And they are also protectors of this world, okay? According to Buddhism. Their names are Yulkorsung, which is Dhritarashtra, Pakyepo, which is Virudhaka, Chenmisang, which is Virupaksha, and Namtase, which is Kubera or Vaishravana. So you can imagine that these kings are also outside that huge, now it's getting big, right? It's getting like a football field full of people. Deyang Chitang to Gopa Dang, Chitang to Bigopa, Ok to Chim Burpo Re Tang to Gopa Sungyun Ni Yupa. There's two ways you can seat the four kings. I'm sorry to lay all this on you, but I have to teach the text as it is. There's two ways to seat the four kings. One is to give them a throne. This is a throne. Or you can put them on top of clouds, puffy clouds. Okay. Why? If you put them on a throne, it's because you're saying that these four kings, who are normally not considered Buddhas, are Buddhas. If you don't put them on the thrones, you're saying these four kings are just worldly powers or worldly deities. Okay, like that. It is improper, he says, to visualize these protectors as wrathful beings. They shouldn't be visualized as horrible-looking monsters. There are Dharma protectors, good guys who look like monsters. But he says it's inappropriate when you're doing this particular practice to it's called Gyaltsen. Gyaltsen is a very, what do you call, monstrous looking Dharma protector. You shouldn't visualize them that way when you're doing Lamrim, okay? Someone I'm good to meet him. Ngar se chok ling lama yongzin rinpoche tsokshin shik sikpa siksupudwa. So there was a lama named Sechok Ling. And he was showing a painting of this meditation to another lama named Chi Yongzin, Yongzin Rinpoche, Siksupura, Sungmei Nangzen Shik Chi Yopala. Then there was one of these good guy, monster-looking protectors in the painting. And Yongzin Rinpoche pointed to it. Chaktsu zete, did sab norbu shik chi na ang. I would like you to paint a jewel over this figure. You see what I mean? I want you to paint something else, a neutral thing over this figure. I don't want that figure in the painting, okay? Chichatina ang she sumbare. Kyabyu nam rang rang ki dun na ngo tokpe chu konjo yimbala namba lungi chu putin namba shawan. Each person in this visualization has a little table like this, and each one of them has a book like that in front of them, and the book represents their state of mind. Okay, they have seen emptiness, which is the subject of the book. So the book is just to make a statement. They have a book there because they have seen emptiness, or they've had other high realizations. Okay, the book is not protection. The ideas in the book are protection. Got it? He doesn't even want you to think that the book is holy. The book is not holy. The ideas in the book are holy. So every person you're taking shelter with, every person you're asking for protection has a book. But it doesn't mean they can read the book real good or something like that. It means they understand what's in it. And that's protection. Okay? All right. Lord Tokpe. Oops. I'm not supposed to do that. Even though you put in number seven. Dong dar cha chem mewa. Dong dar. Dong means face. Dar means silk. Dong dar is a special piece of cloth that you slip in here that hangs down here and has the name of the book on it. Okay? Because you can't put the name anywhere else. So there's a special piece of silk that you write the name on. Okay, dongdar chachimawa, that is shining with light. Dun rang that temba selda. You should imagine that they have a book like that. Kyabyu la kundun norbo lubdan totsa so mangdu sungkyang. There are many ways to do this visualization. Now it's got complicated, right? There's like, I don't know, there's over 1,000 people in this visualization. Rinpoche used to brag about how many he could see at one time. But anyway, there's a call, say Kundu, Norbu, Luk. Kundu, Norbu, Luk. There's a way to wrap the whole thing into one person. That's called Kundu Norbu Luk. So it's allowed. It's legal. Okay, if you don't want to visualize 2,000 people one by one, you can just, Kundu means wraps all of them into one. Norbu means a jewel. Luk means the way. So there's Kundu Norbu Luk means, and that's what I personally do. I just picture my lama. That's all, my heart lama. That's all I ever did. I didn't try to get the 1,000 Buddhas and the 8 Buddhas and the 16 elders and the 8 Bodhisattvas and the, you know, it got too complicated for me. They are all holy beings and they all really exist, and maybe it would be useful to try, but I just didn't have the, you know, power to do that. Okay. Kundu Norbu Luk Tan. Tolsek means instead of putting them out in all these circles, you can pile them up like a skyscraper. You can have this group here and this group here, and that's another legal way to do it. So Manda Sum Kyan Rang Luk Dita Zebe Kyabil Kwanjo Sumga Tsangwe Dunduyin. But we're going to do it this way. And he says, why? And he says, it includes all three of the jewels, the three jewels, okay? So you are supposed to be taking shelter in the three jewels. And in fact, that's what makes you a Buddhist. According, in Christianity, you have what? Baptism, right? You get baptized, you're a Christian. I did the other thing too, but I forgot. Catechism. You do the catechism, then you're allowed to take the body of Christ. You know, when you're, I don't know, I was like 14 or 15. Then I had to memorize 20 things, and then they let you have the wine and the bread, right? In Buddhism, what makes you a Buddhist is not like baptism or catechism. It's do you take refuge or not? Okay? If you take refuge, you're a Buddhist. And if you don't, you're not. And then there's a joke. We were in a country, which I won't name, where I'm not allowed to wear my robes, right? And we got 1,000 business people in the room to understand that you shouldn't yell back at the boss, because if you do, you make more bosses for next week to yell at you. Okay? And they got it. Which means they are Buddhist. Okay? It's kind of awesome. You see what I mean? Why? Not because they accept some lama or they have a certain picture in their house. That doesn't make you a Buddhist. Okay? If you yell back at the boss, you're not a Buddhist. And you can have dialogue pictures all over your house. Okay, there's a joke at Sera Monastery one day. One monk, like, who had, what do you call that? Clairvoyance? He said, the abbot today, the abbot of Sera is not a Buddhist. Okay, because he yells back. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. It's very interesting, okay? So this whole big picture, he says, is to remind you not to yell back at the boss, because the picture doesn't protect you. Okay? They have a book in front of them. That's the understanding that there's no yelling boss in the world who didn't come from you. That's emptiness. There's no such thing as an irritating person in your life who is not being directly produced by you. Okay? That's emptiness. Okay? You don't have to go to some, you know, Zen temple and meditate for 6 years. Emptiness means every irritating person in your life is coming directly from you. And if you ask me to identify one of them who's not coming from you, I have to go. And that's emptiness. That's all emptiness means. That's what the books mean in the picture. Okay? The people reading the books are all Buddhas. Why? Because they didn't yell back at the boss for a long time. Okay? All right? It's very interesting. And the Sangha is anyone who gets it. Whether they're from China or Pakistan, or we were teaching Muslims in Jakarta, it doesn't matter. If you get it, you're a Buddhist. And so this whole visualization is all about these ideas about the boss. The whole visualization is meant to trigger in you. When you look at the book, you're supposed to say, that's the book about emptiness. What's emptiness? It's the lack of any irritating person in my life who's not coming from me. Okay? The whole picture is meant to protect you. Okay? You're not supposed to make sure this guy has a red hat and this guy has a blue robe or something. It doesn't help anything. You're supposed to look at these people and say, they're teaching me that the boss is coming from me. And that will protect you. Okay? So I think it's enough to visualize your lama sitting there saying, I know there's an asshole in your life. Everybody has one. But they're coming from you. You know what I mean? Like that. Okay? That's enough. Then this is a refuge visualization. If you get the 14 arhats correct, and you get the 12 Buddhas, and you're still yelling back at the boss, you don't have refuge. It's not a practice. It won't help you. You can have all these pictures and it doesn't help you. They're all meant to trigger the understanding that the poop in your life is coming from you. And you can stop it if you want to. That's all. And if you don't get that when you picture it, then you're doing it wrong. And it's not going to protect you. Okay? It's not just some visual. What he's trying to say is that let them talk to you. Okay? When you visualize them, help me. Oh, what kind of help you want? There's a person in my life who's really bothering me right now, really hurting me. Yeah, so who created them? I did. Well, maybe you could stop doing what you're doing to create them. Okay. Then you took refuge. That's protection. Okay? That's all. Forget all those pictures. Okay. No, the pictures are supposed to make you think like that. And if they don't, then you're just doing it wrong, and it's not going to help you. It'll just confuse you trying to picture all these guys. Okay. The reason we do the visualization this way is we can get in all three of the things that protect you, the three jewels. I like this part, and we have 10 minutes, and that's nice. The holy beings that you meet in your meditation are not flat like a photo. Okay? They're not flat like a painting. Okay? It's like you look at the side and they're only this thick, you know? It's not like that. They're not two-dimensional. Okay? Lepcha mayan. Derkuta duche mayan. But they're also not three-dimensional. In the way that a statue is. Okay? They don't have guts and bones and flesh. Okay? They are not two-dimensional. And they are not three-dimensional in the way you think of three-dimensional. They are made of light itself. They are made of light itself. They have width. And they have height. And length. Okay? If you look at them from the side, you can see ribs and things like that. But the ribs are made of light. And the head is made of light. And the body is made of light. Everything is made of light. Okay? So I really get irritated by, you know, people. When they're visualizing like tar, they're like, should it be green tar? Yes. So I'll paint green paint on Tara. White Tara, I will put dark green paint on her. And you're like, no, it's not that. She's made of light. It's like looking at a candle flame. It's not looking at a picture of a candle. And it's not looking at a painting of a candle. It's a candle flame. They are made of flame, like that. It's beautiful. They have a rainbow body, which is made of crystal light. Okay, so don't visualize your lama as, you know, has flesh and blood. They are made of light. Okay. And when you see those pictures of Buddhas and they're blue, try to think of a light bulb behind there. You know, they are shining in light. They're not painted blue. Okay. People tend to see them as pictures. They're not pictures. They're people who are made of light. Okay. Shindu Bhava, they are blazing in light. Dua Lungle, Dua Lung is an old Vinaya scripture. One of the ones in the Kangya. Me Luki Yipsu Dukpa Tabu. Me Che Marki Tamba Tabu. Marme Serki Nudu Shakpa Tabu She Pesum. In that scripture, there are three metaphors or examples which are given for how they look. Okay, I looked it up for you. There's four. Okay, there were four. But anyway, I'll give you all four. Okay, so traditionally there are three examples given in Lamrim. The ancient scripture has four. First one, me luki yipsi dupa tabu. They are like a tongue of flame in the shape of a person. When you visualize your lama, think of flame in the shape of a person. Okay. Number one. Number two. Meche marki tambatabu. They are like a flame of a butter lamp where you throw, like, I don't know, you take, we're going to have a fire offering, right? The first fire offering we ever had, it was in Godstow, which was a weird place. And we had trouble with everything there. So the first time we had a fire offering, it hailed the whole time, heavily. It hailed the whole time. And we couldn't keep the fire going. And then finally, John Stillwell walks out with a 5-gallon gasoline can. He says, that's not around. You know, he went, poosh. He threw gasoline all around. He said, poosh, poosh. It's like, boom. And then, that's the second example here. You take ghee and you spread it all over the place and on the butter lamp, and you pour new ghee into it, and it shoots up, the flame shoots up. Number three, marme serki nudu shakpa. You take a bowl, you make a bowl out of gold metal, and you polish it to a high, what do you call that? Luster, sheen. And then you put a butter lamp inside that. And it's like really like beautiful. Bright, golden, warm, sunshine color. That's how your lama's body should be visualized, okay? The old scripture gives a fourth example. What is the... Oh, as if the wick of a butter lamp were sparkling in the colors found inside of jewels. So inside of rubies or sapphires or emeralds, there's a spark. I used to buy 30,000 colored stones a day, rubies, emeralds, sapphires, and you look for this spark. You have to pick them up and there's a spark inside. So you have to imagine that their body is like all spark, all ruby spark, sapphire spark, okay? That's the fourth one. Sumgi Ngakbeku. Pensin Shuki Tuarti Lenze. But this gets me onto another subject. I'll start it, but I won't finish it, okay? Because we only have 5 minutes. Maybe I will finish it. What the heck? You're pretty tired and it's hot, but I don't care. Rinpoche, Ken Rinpoche taught in New York briefly. He taught in the village on McDougal Street near NYU in a tiny little loft. And I think the third time he went in, he got into a car accident. And his head went through the windshield. And that's why his nose was a little crooked. And that's why his voice was raspy. It crushed his voice box. And so he never went back to New York. He said, I'm not driving to anywhere. If they want classes, they can come here. One night at McDougal Street, there were like three students from NYU that were having him teach, and it was cool. And then somebody asked him, after everyone gets enlightened, what do Buddhists do? You know, like, are they unemployed or, you know, like, and he's like, what, you think they're going to retire? You know, and here's something interesting in the text here. It says, Chikitiwa Tilen Zepa, the beings in the visualization should be popping Dharma questions to each other. You know, like, one Buddha is asking another Buddha, you know, are there three metaphors or four? And he goes, four. You know, and they talk about Dharma questions, like the questions you asked me today. They keep going, they don't stop. Because they just love to hear the Dharma talk. They know what the guy's going to answer. And they knew a billion years ago. But they still ask each other the question, okay? Because they just like to hear the Dharma talk. Okay, and I think our practice can be similar. You know, I used to have this pressure if I didn't come up with a new yoga series every year. I wasn't a good teacher. And I would, you know, try to make a more exotic yoga series each year. And then I'm thinking, what if we all just did a really nice yoga that we all knew together at the retreat? Is that so bad? I mean, does it have to be an older text that I found, or, you know what I mean? Like, could you just practice together and be happy? And maybe somebody else teaches, and then I sit and listen, and like that, you know? That's kind of nice, too. I think it will get that way, okay? Like that. It should be that way, I think so. It's just nice to hear it said by anybody, okay? Okay, so I'm going to say the rest of it also because it's kind of cute. We have 1 minute, which is going to stretch out. Gyalpo podrangi gotsar gyalse ki chawa dupsine tsur ongbadan dupgu pardoa mangdu runzing yopatar. Never see, when you visualize your lama or any other enlightened being, never see them as static. It's not a boring, they are static and nothing's happening. You're sitting there visualizing, you know, and nothing's going on. He said, that's a big mistake. They are sending out avatars constantly, like a train station, like a really busy train station. There's departing trains and there's incoming trains. And they are like, oh my God, they need an avatar on this planet. Let's send one. You get down there quick, you know. And every moment, there are hundreds of avatars are flying out of them. And then there are avatars coming back, you know, like, hey, I finished my job. I got that planet enlightened, you know. And they're like coming back into the Lama's heart. So Lama is sending out thousands of emanations every hour, like a busy train station. And then there are guys coming back all tired, you know, okay, I emanated, I saved the world, you know. And they get to come back in. And it's like the White House. He says it's like the White House. You know, it's like a very, very busy office. And you're like, can you get down there and take care of these people? Yeah, I got it. I'm on it. And then this guy's coming back, you know. So you have to see this hustle and bustle going on. He's sending out thousands and thousands of emanations every few minutes. And you've got to see this thing going on, like ghost spirit figures coming and going from them, like to different worlds. And it's not like you're sitting there and just looking at each other, okay? I like that. I think that would help a lot. You should try it, okay? Yeah, we'll stop there, okay? And we'll talk more about it. Okay? These are all when you visualize your teacher. It's not some boring thing to sit there with them. Personally, I also like to sometimes just sit with them anyway, and they're not doing anything special. They're just loving me, and I'm enjoying being near them. And I think sometimes you have to do. It's hard for Facebook raised people to do that. You think you have to text somebody during the visualization, you know, or it's nothing going on. It should be that you can sit with them quietly and enjoy them. You should learn to enjoy your lama and be with them quietly and just be grateful and think about the cool stuff you're doing together. And you don't have to do anything special, okay? Like that, okay? You want to take a shot? Okay.
Sangeshin Sunami Sunami